Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Scoop. This is Mark Levine. They're still doing repairs at the Center for American Progress radio studio. Come next week, those repairs will be done, and you will hear my voice loud and clear as you're used to. So I apologize if there's a little bit of distortion as I call in the show today, but I am not calling it in with regards to what I have to say. In fact, I have a suggestion for you today, and I want to know what you think about it. And it has to do with who are the people who support Donald Trump. Who are the Trumplicans, as it were? Who are the Trumplicans? A lot of people say, hey, why are you focused on Donald Trump? He's seeking all this attention. But to him, attention must be paid because attention is being paid. By that, I mean the fact that in virtually every poll, he is leading the Republican nomination. So while I still think he's a charlatan and a rude, ignorant blowhard, I have to see where the source of his appeal is and what it says about my fellow Americans, or at least about that slither of the Republican Party that may even turn out to be a majority of the Republican Party. We'll find out that is indeed a Trumplican. Who are the supporters of Donald Trump? A few weeks ago on the air, I discussed the political philosophy that makes us liberals or conservatives. And I said at that time, after an interview with a very polite establishment Republican by the name of John Andrews, who came on my show, he was a state senator who runs the Western Conservative Summit in Colorado, and we talked about our feelings about the system in America, what works and what doesn't work. And at that time I said, based on my conversation with John, I said, if you believe that the system basically works, that it's basically fair, that people who are deserving get what they need in America, people who are undeserving don't get what they need, and it needs no major changes to the system, then you're probably a conservative. I said that if you believe the system is unfair and you don't think that people are treated equally on the basis of whatever, race or sexual orientation or gender or economic status or immigrant status, if you think that life is basically unfair and our system needs changing, well, then you're probably a liberal. You're probably a Democrat. So who are the Trumplicans? Do they think the system is fair? I would say they don't. I would say they agree with progressives. They agree with supporters of Bernie Sanders that the system is unfair. So what are the differences between a progressive and a Trumplican? The answer, and I want you to think about this, I want you to know if you agree with me here. I think the answer is this. Establishment Republicans think the system is basically fair, shouldn't be changed very much. If you're rich and we reward the rich, that's a good thing. And it should happen. And basically, if you're not doing well, well, it's your own fault. Progressives, as I said, see the system as unfair, and we need to fundamentally change it to make it more equal, to systemically change it so our society is less racist and more favorable to working-class people. If you're a Trumplican, you agree with the Democrats that the system is unfair. But rather than seek to change the system to make it more fair, you want to know how to profit from its very unfairness. I want you to think about that. If you don't believe the system's corrupt, you're an establishment Republican. If you believe it's corrupt and you want to change that corruption, you're a progressive Democrat. If you believe the system is corrupt and you want to know how you, too, can profit from that corruption, you're probably a Trumplican. You see, Donald Trump, I think, represents the people we used to call the Reagan Democrats. Today, we might call them Tea Party members. And actually, I don't think there's a huge difference between Republican Democrats and Tea Party members. They tend to be the less educated, white, working class. The same people who rose up to support the unions 100 years ago, to support Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal because they were suffering so much from the Great Depression, largely left the Democratic Party when Lyndon Johnson reached out to black people, largely supported Richard Nixon, what he called the silent majority. There's a reason why Donald Trump harkens back to Richard Nixon's lingo. I would say Ronald Reagan cemented the entry of these former Democrats into the Republican fold. Working-class white Americans who've given up on unions, who've given up on social programs to the extent that they help black people. They're fine with programs like Social Security and Medicare that help them, but they don't want any programs that are seen as helping blacks. It's sort of a division. The working-class whites are more resentful of working class blacks, or even rich blacks, than they are the rich whites who set up the system. And now with Donald Trump, I think they see a way that they can use their resentment, foster that resentment, and put all their hopes and dreams in someone who very flagrantly brags about how corrupt the system is and how he profits from that corruption, right? Republicans say, yeah, there's a ton of money in politics, and I like it that way. Democrats say there's a ton of money in politics, and I don't like it. We need to change the laws. We need to overturn Citizens United. But a Trumplican says there's a lot of money in politics, and wouldn't it be great to be the billionaire behind the scenes? Wouldn't it be great to be the person who pulls the strings for the politicians? After all, no one will pull his strings, not because it's right or just, but because our system which rewards wealth, our system which rewards players behind the scene, our system which rewards corruption, will reward someone like Donald Trump. This is a winner in today's society. And in that way, I think Donald Trump very much mirrors some of the right-wing parties in Europe. I'm not saying he's a fascist, that's too strong, but I do recognize there's a certain nativist, certain anti-immigrant, certain proud white male feeling to a lot of the Donald Trump supporters. And when you think about it, it actually makes some sociological sense. If you go back to the 1950s, if you go back to the land that was portrayed in Leave It to Beaver, right? There's a Beaver Cleaver land where Ward works and his wife stays home and they have an intact white family with mom and dad and two kids and they live at home and they don't have to worry about economics and they don't have to worry or have to interact with black people or gay people. Women know their place. I'm quite certain they're Christian. These are people that are the perfect nuclear family for, well, a lot of Americans out there. And at that time, let's face it, one wage earner, almost always the man, could work enough to bring wages home to the family, to feed the family. Well, working class people don't have it as good as they did in the 1950s, 1960s. Certainly the white working class doesn't, because they often need two wage earners now to feed the family. Women not only can work, but often have to work. And times are more difficult. Let's face it, during the 50s and 60s and well on into the Clintonian 90s, the more people worked, the more they were paid. But starting with, you could argue starting with Ronald Reagan, certainly continuing in strong numbers after George W. Bush, that link between productivity and wages is broken. Today, you can work harder and harder and fall farther and farther behind. Now, a liberal looks at that system and says, that's unfair, and let's go support someone like Bernie Sanders, and let's raise the minimum wage, and let's make it easier to have paid family medical leave, and easier for kids to attend school and for moms to have daycare, and we're looking out to make people's lives easier. But a Trumplican looks at that situation and says, it's unfair how working class people are treated. I don't want to be one. I want to be rich. Donald Trump is my hero. They don't realize that, for example, Donald Trump's father was rich. And in fact, if you invested what Donald Trump's father gave Donald Trump and put it in a stock index fund, turns out you get about the same amount of wealth he has today. Donald Trump didn't create any wealth. On average, he did about as good as anyone who inherits $1 billion or so would do. But To them, Donald Trump is who they want to be. And they're sick and tired, in their view, of all the, well, what Archie Bunker might have called the minorities, all the minorities are doing. How is it that blacks are achieving more, and gay people are achieving more, and women are achieving more, and immigrants are achieving more? And what happened to Ward Cleaver? But Ward Cleaver is starting to recognize that he lives in a multicultural society. And not everyone is a white, male, straight Christian who lives on Main Street in a small town and is married to a woman and has never been divorced and has two kids. Not everyone falls into that demographic. In fact, quite few Americans do. And I don't mean to disrespect that demographic at all, except to note that this was once the all-powerful leaders of America, and today we recognize that everyone has an equal shot. And if you like that, you're a progressive. And if you're angry about that, well, you're probably a Trumplican. That's not to say that all Trumplicans are racist or anything like that. It's to say that these are people who feel that America is falling behind. You hear Donald Trump say, "Make America great again." But what is it about America that's falling behind? Under President Obama, the unemployment level has gone down to 5%. 5%. I probably need to remind you that Mitt Romney, his opponent in 2012, promised that if he were elected president, that by 2016, unemployment would be down to 6%. Yet under Obama, by 2015, it's down to 5%. That can't be their complaint. And it can't be inflation. Inflation is as low as it's been in American history, or at least in this century under President Obama. You'd probably have to go back to the Great Depression to find inflation is low. If you add what Ronald Reagan called the misery index, unemployment plus inflation added together, I think you'll find it's the lowest number we've had since World War II. It's not the economy writ large that's the problem. It's that wage earners, middle-class people, working-class people, are not getting the benefit of that money. The vast majority of it is going to the top 1%. So again, a conservative thinks that's just fine. An establishment conservative doesn't mind that. Jeb Bush certainly wants to increase the wealth of the richest people at the expense of middle-class and working-class people. That's Republican mantra. A liberal says it's wrong, and we need to change it, and we need to do something about income inequality, and we need to care about the Occupy Wall Street movement, and we need to make it easier for people to join the middle class. But a Trumplican sees the inevitable inequality, and rather than says, society, we should make it more equal, says, how do I get to be the guy at the top? I recognize the hierarchy. Unlike the Republicans who don't even seem to notice it, I recognize it's unfair. I'm angry about it because I'm not in charge, and I want to be in charge. And Donald Trump basically uses my resentment, explains it all to me, and makes me angry. And he doesn't have any real policies to fix it. He doesn't need to have policies. He's super rich. He's a winner. He must know how to succeed. That's who I want to be. I want to be Donald Trump. I want to tell everybody off. I want to insult people. I want to say what I'm really thinking. I don't want to be told that what I'm thinking is not politically correct just because I've attacked women or I've attacked poor people or black people. I want to be in a country where I'm in charge. I think that's who a Trumplican really is. You agree with me? Do you agree with my assessment? Hey, even if you do support Donald Trump, I would like to hear from you. Do you think that I have said the difference between establishment Republicans, Democrats, and Trumplicans? Let me know. Give me a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Are you a Trumplican? If so, why? Be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting on who I believe a Trumplican is. And I'm curious to know if you agree with this definition. Now, what normally happens in these shows is people all call in at the very end of the hour. And if you do that, I might not have time for you. So I want to encourage you to call in now at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Whether or not you're a supporter of Donald Trump, I want to know if you agree with my definition of who supports Donald Trump. Who supports the Donald? Not who's amused by the Donald. I certainly am amused by him. I like to hear him speak. I admit that. I would never vote for him in a million years. But he is amusing, and it's amusing how he tweaks the Republican establishment. And it's amusing how he will bring up themes that you don't often hear from establishment Republicans, really working-class themes, themes about the, well, he doesn't use the word white, but working class people who tend to be white, who are opposed to immigrants, who are opposed to any kinds of economic changes, the ones who fear Mexico, fear China. But unlike a progressive Democrat, and let's face it, there are plenty of progressive Democrats, white and black and Latino, who fear outsourcing, who are worried about white Wall Street taking over America, who care about the minimum wage and working class Americans and labor unions. There are plenty of progressive Democrats that care about income inequality. Many of them were in the Occupy movement. But progressive Democrats want to change the system. In fact, the most radical one who wants to change the system is probably Bernie Sanders, and that's why he's getting such large crowds at his rallies. He wants to make things more fair for people, overturn a system where the wealthy get virtually all the money that goes to Americans in the past 10 or 20 years. Bernie Sanders wants to change the system. Donald Trump and his supporters like the system. Well, I take it back. Donald Trump likes the system. He just says he plays it well. His supporters don't like the system, but they want someone who knows how to play it. It's kind of like Donald Trump is the lead mafia don. He's the mafia boss. If you're going to live, a progressive might say, hey, let's get rid of organized crime. Let's get rid of the mafia. We think that's a very dangerous, awful thing. But I would say a Trumpican accepts it for what it is, accepts that the United States is a corrupt society, accepts that we have a mafia. And why not pick the leading mafioso? Why not pick the guy who's in charge? If you're going to have to choose between rival gangs, you might as well pick the strongest one, or at least the guy who talks the strongest, the guy with the most bluster. It doesn't really matter what he says. It doesn't matter what his policies are. You never hear Donald Trump talk in detail about any detailed policies. How's he going to build the wall? He'll build it. And it'll be the best wall ever. How will he solve the nation's problems? He will do the best because he's Donald Trump, because he's rich, and it'll be huge, and it doesn't matter that most of his money was inherited. Donald Trump knows what's best, and he talks like a strong man, like a caudillo, you might say, down in Latin America, like the head of a gang or the head of a terrorist organization. It's all about his bluster, and these people are angry, and they love the bluster. Finally, someone telling the establishment what they are. Frankly, again, even Bernie Sanders tells the establishment what they are, but Bernie Sanders wants to change it. And I would say a Trumpican doesn't so much want to change society, but wants to be at the top. If we're going to live in a hierarchy, why can't I be king? There was a time when the white man was king in America, and he can be again, I think Trumpicans think. And who are all these other people from other countries saying it's not? Are these the Trumpicans? Are you a Trumpican? Do you see Trumpicans around you? Is this the proper definition? Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll take your calls after the break. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Donald Trump, in The Art of the Deal, writes, quote, "I play to people's fantasies. People may not always think big themselves, but they can still get very excited by those who do. That's why a little hyperbole never hurts. People want to believe that something is the biggest and the greatest and the most spectacular," unquote. In other words, it's huge. David Rosen writes in The Salon that a lot of the, what I call the Trumplicans, don't want to do the American dream. Frankly, as Bernie Sanders supporters know, the American dream is dying. It's really hard to work hard and play by the rules and build yourself up from the working class to the middle class. It's still possible, but why would you want to do it if you're a white working class man and you're used to the tradition of the 1950s where you don't have to work that hard and one person with his faithful wife can bring home the wages for the family and you can all live in a Leave It to Beaver world? They want to live what David Rosen calls the American fantasy, not the American dream. The idea that you're one lucky break away from being in charge. That he writes what Hugh Hefner is to sex, what Santa Claus is to toys, what the fairy godmother is to Cinderella, Donald Trump is to American capitalism. You too can be Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump has always played to these downscale, tended to be white male consumers. If you look at his spectacles, there's a reason why his stuff isn't classy, right? The nouveau riche doesn't like classy. They want spectacle. They want gold-plated toilet seats. They want their name on everything. It isn't about being part of the established nobility. It's about showing you're rich. You're a Texan with a big hat. You're a guy with big boots. You're someone who flashes gold watches because you're proud of your wealth. You're not ashamed of it. And if you don't have it, you want it any more, even more. And since you don't have it, and since, well, a lot of working class white people used to have it, it must be someone took it from you. It must be some conspiracy. Maybe it was the immigrants. Maybe it was the blacks. Maybe it was the gays. Maybe it was the women. We don't know who it is, but we know that it's completely unfair. We were in charge, you see, and we're no longer in charge. I would argue it's the same thing that caused working white people, poor white people in the Civil War who did not own slaves, to fight and die for the right of rich people to own slaves. They didn't have slaves themselves, but they wanted to be the plantation owner. And when you have these desires and they're unfulfilled, it just makes you angry. You deserve it. And that liberal media and the Barack Obama and the blacks and the gays and the immigrants, they're taking it all away from you. If you believe that, I dare say you're a Trumplican. Do you agree? Give me a call. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Paul in New Mexico on line two. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul.
What you just described, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. What you just described is advertising. That's basically his business. And the biggest Trumplican of all is the media. And, you know, I'm sad to say, including yourself, it's just all this oxygen and time on him is a complete dumbing down of the American people and a waste of time, you know, which is what I understand to be the role of the media these days. Nobody really wants to inform or report. They just want spectacle, and you're serving it up, a nice hot dish of it.
Well, here's the thing, Paul. I don't believe these people don't exist. I don't think if we don't talk about them, they'll go away. I think this is a phenomenon, and I think Trump exemplifies that phenomenon, and I think it's actually an old phenomenon in American history. Like I said, I think it predates the Civil War, and it leads us all the way up through Nixon's silent majority and Reagan Democrats and
okay.
Ross Perot and the Tea Party today. And I think to
now,
not talk about it, I mean, you're right. It's absolutely a reality show. It's advertising. It's what Donald Trump does best. It's the reason why he appeals to them. But I don't think not talking about it makes it go away.
Well, I kind of disagree. I mean, like the last bastion of actual information for progressives is the Tom Hartman show. You know, the whole progressive lineup has been decimated since the last couple of years. Everyone's been pushed out of business or onto online. But if you're terrestrial, you know, most people watch the BoobTube, you know, TV. Those are the Trumplicans, too, because all they see and hear is Trump. So their attention span is pretty short. So the only thing they can recall is what they're hearing all the time, which is Trump. And the radio, you know, I'm captive in my car driving around a lot, and you know, there's less and less actual intellectual talk. You know, Bernie, there's a virtual media blackout. You know, Huffington Post, that used to be pretty good when Ariana had it, you know, there'll be huge, something huge happening, and you go to Huffington Post, and it's Jeb Bush, it's Ted Cruz, it's Donald Trump. You can't find anything except ads for join Hillary and Republican.
Well, Paul, I just so you know, I did a show a couple weeks ago entirely devoted to Bernie Sanders. I've mentioned Bernie Sanders and where I think his support comes in what I talked about today. And, you know, yesterday I dealt entirely with the Pope and the changes he's undergoing. I think he's and tomorrow I'm going to talk about the refugees from Syria and the Iran deal. So there's plenty of, okay, I think, meat that I deliver on my show. But I do think that liberals do, if they only dismiss Donald Trump as a joke, and the person is a joke. I mean, obviously Donald Trump is he's treating us all like a reality show. He himself is a joke. I think he's having fun at everyone's expense. But his support is not a joke. And I think we dismiss it at our peril. I think we need to understand who these people are. I don't think they're a majority, but they may be. They may well be a majority of the Republican Party because, look, between Donald Trump and Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina, it's amazing the majority, at least right now, may be throwing out the Republican establishment. And I think you could call it the foxification of America, the idea that they're only listening to their own side. I think the Tea Party played a major role in it. I think that people don't want facts. A lot of conservatives don't, and they simply want to feel angry and victimized all the time. I was shocked at the people who ran out to support Kim Davis, an absolute lawbreaker, saying that, you know, she will not do her job as a clerk. But to understand all this, I think we have to talk about it. I don't think – I'm certainly not praising Donald Trump, but I'm certainly not – I don't think I'm fastly repeating what he says. I'm trying to explain the source of his appeal.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, and I do like your program, but there is a lot of foxification of even progressive talk. You know, there's our progressive talkers that draw checks from Roger Ailes. It's like the old lineup, they wouldn't even be allowed on the lot. You know, there's no way they could be even on property owned by Fox. And it's just, there's just this sensationalism of Republicans, even here. It's like there's so precious few minutes. I mean, it's down to minutes. It's not even hours. It's minutes of progressive talk. And I just find that a tragedy.
Well, I appreciate what you do,
Mark. I really do.
I appreciate it. Listen, and it's perfectly fine to disagree with me. You wouldn't be the first, and you won't be the last. But I want to explain what I'm doing. I don't think anyone who heard my rant for the first half hour would think I was praising Donald Trump or his supporters. I do want us to understand them. I do want us to understand them, because I think if we simply dismiss them as a clown show, you know, we are missing the fact that 30% of Republicans are actually supporting someone who won't tell what his policies are and is basically insulting everybody. And think about why that is in this coarsening of America, which I do think is important for us to talk about.
Yeah. All righty, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Paul. I encourage others to call in as well. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. A few weeks ago, I talked about what makes an establishment Republican and what makes a progressive Democrat. I said if you believe life is fair, then you're probably an establishment Republican. Actually, I said a conservative is what I said. And if you think life is unfair and you want to change the system and make it more fair, you're probably a progressive Democrat. Actually, if you've given up on the system and you think it's so unfair that the only way to change it is revolution, and you support that revolution, you're probably a leftist. you're probably left of the Democratic Party. You might even want to use violence to overturn the system. But if you think the system is fundamentally unfair and you don't want to change it, in fact, you want to run it and be yourself at the top of that unfair, corrupt heap, if you don't want to change the mafia, you want to lead the mafia, I think you might just be a Trumplican. Do you agree? This is your last chance to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Reggie from Georgia on line 3, how are you?
How are you, Mark? Happy hump day, man.
Happy hump day. So, do you agree with my definition of a Trumplican?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have people who say that we kiss Hillary Clinton's ass far way too much. But how about those like or such as Rush Limbaugh and Fox News Channel that's kissing Donald Trump's ass right now? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think they represent a lot of this anger and resentment that you see from a certain substantial number of what tends to be white working class male voters, people who largely felt they were in charge 50 years ago and aren't in charge today.
Right. He would defend people like us, such as Kim Davis, right?
Well, exactly. And by the way, I don't mean to say they're not in charge. I still think white male people, I don't think working class people are in charge. I think white male establishment figures are in charge. I actually think it's still much easier to be a white male working class person than a white male black or Latino or immigrant or, you know, a gay person or a woman. But the relative position has fallen because when you bring everyone up to equality, you don't have the hierarchy anymore. And I think a Trumplican misses that hierarchy and wants to be in charge and sees in Donald Trump that in charge mentality.
Yeah, but like you said, he's one of those established Republican figures who has it all.
So when you see unfairness and you see that someone has it all and you see that a system is corrupt, the liberal says, let's change the system. Let's make it less corrupt. Let's give everybody a chance. Let's do the American dream. But a Trumplican says, hey, I want a piece of that. I want a piece of that. I don't want to work hard and play by the rules. That takes way too much time and effort. I want to be like Donald Trump. I want to get a lucky break. I want to roll the dice. And maybe when I roll lucky sevens, I'll win it all. Won't have to work hard. I'll take my lottery ticket, and I'll be in charge. And, well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, but there's no easy way out. There's no shortcuts to life either. You got to work hard.
Well, there aren't, but a Trumplican doesn't know that. And if you tell them that, they're going to get very upset with you, Reggie. Upset.
You mean like Rush Limbaugh and him? You know how much he is? He's a multi-millionaire too, right?
Exactly. I think Rush Limbaugh personifies this. There's a reason why he supports them. And what's interesting to me is this fissure in the Republican Party. It's the reason why when Jeb Bush talks about lowering taxes on the rich, the Trumplicans they aren't really focused on it. That isn't where they're headed. They want to focus against resentment, whether it's racial resentment, immigrant resentment. They want to be resenting someone. It's the idea that, hey, they should have made it already, and they're not, and why haven't they? And if they haven't, it can't be because they're lazy or uneducated. It must be because someone's keeping them down. It's this victimization idea, the idea that Christians are victimized if Kim Davis refuses to obey the law, or the idea that white people are victimized if black people demand fairness from police, or that citizens are victimized if immigrants say, hey, I want a piece of the American dream. I want to become a citizen, too. Or that men are victimized by feminists, which, of course, feminism, all it means is that women have equal rights to men. If equality threatens you, I think you might be a Trumplican.
Right. And like you said before, and, you know, some of those Republicans are wealthy, and even Howard Stern himself is wealthy, even though he's a liberal. But
Trump supporters are not wealthy. This is what I find so interesting.
Exactly.
Okay, the wealthy Republicans, they're the ones supporting Jeb Bush. They're the establishment Republicans. They're the billionaires like Trump who basically want to make sure that they can pay less taxes and pollute the waters and get less regulation for their businesses and things like that. That's an establishment Republican. That's, frankly, something that we've understood for a long time. What's interesting about Donald Trump's supporters is they tend to not have money. They tend to not be educated. They tend to be the white working class that, frankly, used to join unions, used to be progressives, used to be part of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. But I would argue, and Franklin Lyndon Johnson said when he signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and he said, "I've signed the South away for a generation." It's this angry white male, often Southerner, who feels that suddenly the world's turned upside down. They're the same ones who, you know, want to support the Confederate flag. It's fascinating, this resentment that they feel, and I think that's why Donald Trump is getting all the support he's getting.
Right, and but can't that be a bit? Can't that go too far? Can't it be dangerous what he said?
Of course, it's dangerous. I'm hardly praising them. Of course it's dangerous. If you look at Europe, for example, you see their right-wing parties, anti-immigrant parties, that have veered close to fascism, that talk about deporting vast numbers of immigrants. Actually, Donald Trump hasn't gone that far, but some of his supporters might well go that far. I think there's absolutely a danger to it, and I think that Donald Trump uses code words, lots of winks and nods. He says silent majority, and he harkens back to Nixon. When he says bad things about Mexicans, he's saying things that Archie Bunker would have said privately, but probably not publicly. He is the Archie Bunker of our age. The difference is I actually don't even think Donald Trump is Archie Bunker. I think he's pretending to be because he's reaching out to the Archie Bunkers of the world, and the Archie Bunkers of the world are lapping it up. By the way, for those of you who don't know, and all of you should know, but if you were a person in your 20s or 30s, you may not know that Archie Bunker was the conservative guy from Queens, working class white guy on All in the Family that was made very famous in the 1970s. And to me, he's a caricature. He's an archetype of the Trumplican. I think that Archie Bunker would have loved Donald Trump.
Yeah, but why are the Republicans following his lead and following suit and saying all the things that he said? Are they trying to out-Trump Trump?
Some are. Certainly Ted Cruz is trying to out-Trump Trump. Mike Huckabee is trying to out-Trump Trump, at least among religious conservatives. It's astonishing that he goes to the jail cell and firmly supports a woman who violated her oath to uphold the Constitution. Here's a man who's running for president. He wants to take an oath himself to uphold the Constitution, and he's supporting a woman who's flagrantly violating the law. Astonishing. So, yes, they're trying to out-Trump Trump, but they can't do it. How can you out-reality star and a reality star? Donald Trump knows how to do the advertisement. Donald Trump has been appealing to this same group of people through his line of work for a long time. I mean, who else appreciates your name up in gold lights on top of a hotel? Most people aren't that full of themselves. But if you're down on your luck, and if you like to think of yourself as someone who deserves great wealth without having to work very hard for it, well, Donald Trump's your guy.
Yeah, well, hasn't he filed for bankruptcy 4 or 5 times, and hasn't he been married himself 3 times and, you know, got the first one pregnant, and then now he's on his third wife?
I've lost count, honestly. I can't tell you how many times his company's declared bankruptcy or how many marriages he's had. I know at least two of his wives were what you might call anchor wives. They were immigrants themselves, people who only could become American citizens because Donald Trump made them a citizen by marrying them. What's fascinating is that the very same people that he's attacking, the same immigrants, for having so-called anchor babies, which, of course, is a misnomer since having a baby here doesn't really help your immigration status very much. He's done exactly that. I mean, he is the embodiment of what a lot of people complain about. But you see, it's not about him personally. It's about the resentment. He speaks the language. He knows how to talk to Archie Bunker. He's been selling to Archie Bunker his entire life. He's made a fortune off of selling to Archie Bunker. And so why shouldn't Archie Bunker come and what they like is the bluster. They like the ego. They want someone who's proud to be rich. They want someone who doesn't give a damn about someone else, because that's, I think, how they see themselves if they were rich. There's some people who want to become rich so they can give back to the community. There are other people who want to become rich so they can lord it over everyone else.
Right.
Well, that's Donald Trump, and the Trumplicans don't have the money, but if they did, they would certainly lord it above everybody else.
Right, and so you think he's a hypocrite for lording conservative family morals and values over other people.
Well, I think he's a hypocrite, but this isn't about Donald Trump. This whole show isn't about Donald Trump. It's about the Trumplicans. Donald Trump is a flash in the pan. Donald Trump is a reality star. Donald Trump is a clown. But the people that support him, I really think they ought to keep us, they ought to keep us concerned, because I'm very nervous about what they represent. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it, Reggie. I'll be back tomorrow talking about the Iran deal and the Syrian refugees. This is Mark Levine signing off.